Chapter 33, Resurgence of Conservatism, 1980 to 1992. Why it matters. The 1980s saw the rise of a new conservatism. President Reagan, standing for traditional values and smaller government, symbolized this movement. While tax cuts and new technologies fueled an economic boom, Reagan embarked on a massive military buildup and expanded efforts to contain communism. During President George Bush's term, the United States fought the Persian Gulf War, and the Cold War came to a dramatic end with the fall of the Soviet Union. The impact today. Developments of the Reagan era are still visible today. The struggle between conservative and liberal ideas often defines American politics. Foreign policy has greatly changed because of the fall of the Soviet Union. The Americans with Disabilities Act has opened up doors for disabled citizens. Section 1. The New Conservatism. An American Story. Midge Dechter, a New Yorker and a writer for the conservative publication Commentary, was appalled at the terror that hit her city on a hot July night in 1977. On the night of July 13th, the power failed in New York City. Streetlights went dark. Elevators, subways, and air conditioners stopped running. The blackout left millions of people in darkness, and looting and arson rocked the city. City officials and the media blamed the lawlessness on the anger and despair of youth in neglected areas. They were just waiting for something like this so they could go berserk, said Lydia Rivers, a Brooklyn resident. Dechter, however, had other ideas about who was to blame for the terror in her city. The answer is that all those young men went on their spree of looting because they had been given permission to do so. They had been given permission to do so by all the papers and magazines, movies and documentaries, all the outlets for the purveying of enlightened liberal attitude and progressive liberal policy, which had for years and years been proclaiming that race and poverty were sufficient excuses for lawlessness. Quoted in Commentary, September 1977. Conservatism and Liberalism. Midge Dechter's article blaming liberalism for the riots in New York during the 1977 blackout exemplifies a debate in American politics that continues to the present day. On one side of the debate are people who call themselves liberals. On the other side are those who identify themselves as conservatives. Liberal ideas generally dominated American politics for much of the 1900s, but conservative ideas gained significant support among Americans in the 1970s. In 1980, Ronald Reagan, a strong conservative, was elected president. Liberalism. In American politics today, people who call themselves liberals believe several basic ideas. In general, liberals believe that the government should regulate the economy to protect people from the power of large corporations and wealthy elites. Liberals also believe that the government, particularly the federal government, should play an active role in helping disadvantaged Americans, partly through social programs and partly by putting more of society's tax burden on wealthier people. Although liberals favor government intervention in the economy, they are suspicious of any attempt by the government to regulate social behavior. They are strong supporters of free speech and privacy, and they are opposed to the government supporting or endorsing religious beliefs, no matter how indirectly. They believe that a diverse society, made up of many different races, cultures, and ethnic groups, tends to be more creative and energetic. Liberals often support high taxes on the wealthy, partly because they believe taxes weaken the power of the rich, and partly because the government can transfer the wealth to other Americans to keep society more equal. They believe that most social problems have their roots in economic inequality. Conservatism. Unlike liberals, conservatives generally have a fundamental distrust of the power of government, particularly the federal government. They support the original intent of the Constitution and believe that governmental power should be divided into different branches and split between state and federal levels to limit its ability to intrude into people's lives. Conservatives believe that if the government regulates the economy, it makes the economy less efficient, resulting in less wealth and more poverty. They believe that the free enterprise system is the best way to organize society. They often argue that if people and businesses are free to make their own economic choices, there will be more wealth and a higher standard of living for everyone. For this reason, conservatives generally oppose high taxes and government programs that transfer wealth from the rich to those who are less wealthy. They believe that taxes and government programs discourage investment, take away people's incentive to work hard, and reduce the amount of freedom in society. The more the government regulates the economy, conservatives argue, the more it will have to regulate every aspect of people's behavior. Ultimately, conservatives fear the government will so restrict people's economic freedom that Americans will no longer be able to improve their standard of living and get ahead in life. Many conservatives believe that religious faith is vitally important in sustaining society. They believe most social problems result from issues of morality and character, issues, they argue, that are best addressed through commitment to a religious faith and through the private efforts of individuals and communities helping those in need. Despite this general belief, conservatives do support the use of the governmental police powers to regulate social behavior in some instances. Reading check. Contrasting. How do liberal and conservative opinions about government differ? Conservatism revives. During the New Deal era of the 1930s, conservative ideas had lost much of their influence in national politics. In the years following World War II, however, conservatism began to revive. Conservatism and the Cold War. Support for conservative ideas began to revive for two major reasons, both related to the Cold War. First, the struggle against communism revived the debate about the role of the government in the economy. Some Americans believed that liberal economic ideas were slowly leading the United States toward communism and became determined to stop this trend. They also thought the United States had failed to stop the spread of Soviet power because liberals did not fully understand the need for a strong anti-communist foreign policy. At the same time, many Americans viewed the Cold War in religious terms. Communism rejected religion and emphasized the material side of life. To Americans with a deep religious faith, the struggle against communism was a struggle between good and evil. Liberalism, which emphasizes economic welfare, gradually lost the support of many religious Americans, who increasingly turned to conservatism. Conservatives organize. In 1955, a young conservative named William F. Buckley founded a new conservative magazine called National Review. Buckley's magazine helped to revive conservative ideas in the United States. Buckley debated in front of college students and appeared on radio and television shows, spreading conservative ideas to an even wider audience. Within the Republican Party, conservatives, particularly young conservatives, began to push their ideas and demand a greater role in party decision-making. In 1960, some 90 young conservative leaders met at Buckley's family estate and founded Young Americans for Freedom, or YAF, an independent conservative group, to push their ideas and to support conservative candidates. By 1964, the new conservative movement had achieved enough influence within the Republican Party to enable the conservative Barry Goldwater to win the nomination for president. To the dismay of the conservatives, however, President Johnson easily defeated Goldwater and won the election in a landslide. Reading check. Explaining. Why did conservatism revive in the 1950s? Conservatism gained support. Conservatism could not have become a mass movement if Americans had not responded to conservative ideas. The events of the late 1960s and 1970s played an important role in convincing Americans to support conservatism. After Goldwater's huge loss in 1964, American society moved decisively in a conservative direction. Geography. The rise of the Sun Belt. One of the problems facing conservatives in the 1950s and early 1960s was that they generally split their votes between the Republicans and the Democrats. Two regions of the country, the South and the West, were more conservative than other areas. Southern conservatives, however, generally voted for the Democrats, while conservatives in the West voted Republican. This meant that the party that won the heavily populated Northeast would win the election. Since the Northeast strongly supported liberal ideas, both parties were pulled toward liberal policies. This pattern began to change during World War II, when large numbers of Americans moved south and west to take jobs in the war factories. The movement to the south and west, together known as the Sun Belt, continued after the war. As the Sun Belt's economy expanded, Americans living in those regions began to view the federal government differently from people living in the Northeast. Sun Belt conservatism. Industry in the Northeast was in a decline, leading to the region's nickname, the Rust Belt. This region had more unemployed people than any other, and its cities were often congested and polluted. These problems prompted Americans in the Northeast to look to the federal government for programs and regulations that would help them solve their problems. In contrast, Americans in the Sun Belt opposed high taxes and federal regulations that threatened to interfere with their region's growth. Many white Southerners were also angry with the Democrats for supporting civil rights, which they interpreted as an effort by the federal government to impose its policies on the South. When Barry Goldwater argued in 1964 that the federal government was becoming too strong, many Southerners agreed. For the first time since Reconstruction, they began voting Republican in large numbers. Although Goldwater lost the election, his candidacy showed Republicans that the best way to attract Southern votes was to support conservative policies. Americans living in the West also responded to conservative attacks on the size and power of the federal government. Westerners were proud of their frontier heritage and spirit of rugged individualism. They resented federal environmental regulations that limited ranching, controlled water use, and restricted the development of the region's natural resources. Western anger over such policies inspired the Sagebrush Rebellion of the early 1970s, a widespread protest led by conservatives against federal laws hindering the region's development. By 1980, the population of the Sun Belt had surpassed the Northeast. This gave the conservative regions of the country more electoral votes and therefore more influence in shaping party policies. With Southerners shifting their votes to the Republican Party, conservatives could now build a coalition to elect a president. Suburban conservatism. As riots erupted and crime soared during the 1960s and 1970s, many Americans moved to suburbs to escape the chaos of the cities. Even there, however, they found the quiet middle-class lifestyle they desired to be in danger. The rapid inflation of the 1970s had caused the buying power of the average middle-class family to shrink while taxes remained high. Many Americans resented the taxes they had to pay for New Deal and Great Society programs when they themselves were losing ground economically. By the late 1970s, Americans had begun to rebel against these high taxes. In 1978, Howard Jarvis, a conservative activist, launched the first successful tax revolt in California with Proposition 13, a referendum on the state ballot that greatly reduced property taxes. Soon afterward, anti-tax movements appeared in other states, and tax cuts quickly became a national issue. For many Americans, the conservative argument that the government had become too big meant simply that taxes were too high. As conservatives began to call for tax cuts, middle-class Americans flocked to their cause. The religious right. While many Americans turned to conservatism for economic reasons, others were drawn to it because they feared American society had lost touch with its traditional values. For many Americans of deep religious faith, the events of the 1960s and 1970s were shocking. The Supreme Court decision in Roe v. Wade, which established abortion as a constitutional right, greatly concerned them. Other Supreme Court decisions that limited prayer in public schools and expanded the rights of people accused of crimes also drew criticism from religious groups. The feminist movement and the push for the Equal Rights Amendment, or ERA, further alarmed religious Americans because it seemed to represent an assault on the traditional family. Many religious people were also shocked by the behavior of some university students in the 1960s. whose contempt for authority seemed to indicate a general breakdown in American values and morality. These concerns helped expand the conservative cause into a mass movement. Although religious conservatives included people of many different faiths, the largest group within the social conservative movement was evangelical Protestant Christians. Evangelicals believe they are saved from their sins through conversion, which they refer to as being born again, and a personal commitment to follow Jesus Christ, whose death and resurrection reconciles them to God. After World War II, a religious revival began in the United States. Protestant ministers such as Billy Graham and Oral Roberts built national followings. By the late 1970s, about 70 million Americans described themselves as born again. Christian evangelicals owned their own newspapers, magazines, radio stations, and television networks. Television, in particular, allowed evangelical ministers to reach a large nationwide audience. These televangelists, as they were nicknamed, included Marion Pat Robertson, who founded the Christian Broadcasting Network, and Jerry Falwell, who used his television show, The Old Time Gospel Hour, to found a movement that he calls the Moral Majority. Using television and mail campaigns, the Moral Majority built up a network of ministers to register new voters who backed conservative candidates and issues. Falwell later claimed to have brought in 2 million new voters by 1980. A new coalition. By the end of the 1970s, the new conservative coalition of voters had begun to come together in the United States. Although the members of this coalition were concerned with many different issues, they were held together by a common belief that American society had somehow lost its way. The Watergate scandal, high taxes, and special interest politics had undermined many Americans' faith in their government. Rising unemployment, rapid inflation, and the energy crisis had shaken their confidence in the economy. Riots, crime, and drug abuse suggested that society itself was falling apart. The retreat from Vietnam, the hostage crisis in Iran, and the Soviet invasion of Afghanistan made the nation look weak and helpless internationally. Many Americans were tired of change and upheaval. They wanted stability and a return to what they remembered as a better time. For some, the new conservatism and its most prominent spokesperson, Ronald Reagan, offered hope to a nation in distress. Reading check. Summarizing. Why did many Americans begin to support the conservative movement?